Welcome to Local Talk Friday on KHOY Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, events, and places in central Iowa. Thank you for listening. I am your host for this hour, Pat Schlarbaum, with station manager Mike Murphy, and co-host Mike Metz is here. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Pat.
And what's new at your Prairie Winds farm this morning?
Well, you know, some of this high water has moved animals around, and I got to see a doe and a fawn kind of moving across the neighbor's just freshly seeded field.
And you've got some water in your seven-acre...
That's right. It's now a seven-acre marsh again.
Great. That's just great. Well, we've got a full slate of Local Talk guests in the wings, so to speak, this 17th day of June, 2022. And the war in the Ukraine continues, and I encourage people to follow KHOY War in Ukraine each Friday at noon with Svetlana Sabarchik, where she provides timely updates from her homeland. Again, each Friday at noon on KHOY.
It's currently 63 degrees out there. Today will be sunny and continued warm with a high of 89 degrees. It's another hot week ahead next week. This weekend, we're going to have Saturday a high of 75. Sunday, it'll get up to almost 93 with lots of sun. And we're going to anticipate more heat for the start of the week. Monday, 96. Tuesday, it's going to be up there with strong possibilities of thunderstorms rolling in by Wednesday, potentially a severe thunderstorm. Let's welcome Dennis Hart now with a summary of the news last week from our local paper.
More cases of the coronavirus, more voter turnout in the state primary, and Chevron finalizes its purchase of the Renewable Energy Group in Ames. All that and more made news in the Ames Tribune this past week. Let's start with last Friday's paper, which reported that new reported cases of the coronavirus rose in Iowa last week, while the number of people hospitalized with it went down. 4,283 new cases of the virus were reported in the state, or an average of 612 per day. That was an increase of more than 60 cases each day from the previous week. 167 people were said to be hospitalized with the virus in Iowa, a drop of 13 from the week before. And there were 12 more deaths reported from the virus last week, raising the death toll from the coronavirus in Iowa to 9,614 since the pandemic started. The Trib also reported that several Republican incumbents who had opposed one of Governor Reynolds' hallmark education proposals during this year's legislative session will not return to the Iowa House next year after losing primary challenges. Their losses came as school choice advocates poured tens of thousands of dollars into many of the races to oppose them, and as the governor herself endorsed challengers to several members whom she saw as being against her bill. In the state's primary election a week ago, four House Republican incumbents who had publicly opposed the governor's plan to use public money for private school scholarships lost to a primary opponent the governor had endorsed. Four other House candidates backed by the governor won, while one candidate she endorsed lost. And the Trib reported that 13 states, including several of Iowa's neighbors, will immediately ban abortion if the U.S. Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade, the legal decision that for decades has guaranteed a federal right to an abortion. But legal abortion in Iowa will continue after the High Court's decision is handed down, at least for the near future. A 2018 state Supreme Court decision found that the state constitution protects the right to an abortion. Saturday's paper reported that a national pork producers group said it would more aggressively address challenges to the industry, including controversial animal welfare experiments. That was part of the new strategic plan unveiled last week at the World Pork Expo in Des Moines. The CEO of the National Pork Producers Council, Brian Humphreys, said the group will become more proactive on national and state issues, including trade, government policies, and animal rights legislation. There was also word that the Erickson Public Library in Boone had kicked off its summer reading program that will run through July 30th. It's for everyone, children, teens, and adults. A carnival to officially get the program going was set to be held this past Monday afternoon at the library. The library will offer more than 50 programs in June for kids and adults. And there was word that the Buffalo Soldiers Legacy Ride had come to Iowa last weekend. It's an event designed to honor a nearly forgotten groundbreaking experiment led by black American soldiers in the late 19th century. The challenge then was to determine whether newly designed bicycles featuring a chain drive and steerable front wheel could become an effective transportation tool in the U.S. Army. This year is the 125th anniversary of the original Buffalo Soldiers bicycle ride from Fort Missoula, Montana to St. Louis in 1897. The ride was developed to test the practicality of the new transportation tool. Last weekend's ride started in Ankeny and went across the High Trestle Trail toward Madrid. There was also scheduled to be a Cedar Rapids area bike ride this past Tuesday. Sunday's Tribune reported that voter turnout for the state's primary election a week ago was the second highest since 2010. It was lower than 2020's record levels, which took place during the coronavirus pandemic, when absentee ballot request forms were sent to every voter in the state. That caused turnout to spike back then. The state legislature has since banned that practice without legislative approval. In this year's primary, more Republicans voted than Democrats. It was the first time since 2016 that a greater number of Republicans voted in the June primaries than Democrats did. There were fewer active registered Democrats as of June 1st in Iowa than in any June 1st before a midterm primary in nearly 20 years. There was also word about how automation is slowly taking over fields across the Midwest. Farmers are adopting new technology every year, and the world's biggest ag equipment makers are buying high-tech startups to win over the next generation of farmers. Deere & Company bought Blue River Technology for more than $300 million in 2007, giving the Moline, Illinois-based manufacturer the artificial intelligence technology to make sprayers that can automatically identify and treat crops. And Deere has announced its first commercial automated tractor. And the Trib reported that a grant-making and crowdfunding initiative sponsored by the parent company of the newspaper is now accepting applications through June 30th for this year's program. It's called Community Thrives, sponsored by the Gannett Foundation. The grants the program offers are designed to support local nonprofits, schools, and municipal groups that are working to build stronger communities. Organizations can apply through the end of this month. Then next month through August 12th, they do their own crowdfunding, and those who meet certain fundraising thresholds are eligible to be considered for grants. Tuesday's Trib reported that the defendant in a Story County murder trial had taken the stand to testify. Oscar Chavez is accused of first-degree murder in the death of Maria Hanyan in Ames last August. His lawyer had told the jury that the case is not about whether Chavez killed Hanyan. She said he had. But she also said the case is about whether Chavez is guilty of first-degree murder or voluntary manslaughter. The judge later ruled the jury could not consider a voluntary manslaughter verdict. Both the defense and prosecution have said Chavez killed Hanyan because he thought she had given him HIV during their 5-day intimate relationship. The medical examiner has testified that Hanyan did not have HIV, but she did have HPV, a virus that can cause warts or cancer. On the witness stand, Chavez said he had never talked to a doctor about his fear of HIV. Hanyan was shot to death. Also Tuesday, front page photos in the Tribune about last weekend's March for Gun Control in Ames. Wednesday's Trib reported the Chevron Corporation had completed its more than $3 billion purchase of the Renewable Energy Group. That's the biodiesel and renewable diesel company based in Ames that will become the oil giant's renewable fuels headquarters. Chevron wants to produce about 4 million gallons of renewable fuel each day by the year 2030. The REG company already provides about one-third of that production. It employs about 950 people, and it has 11 biodiesel and renewable diesel plants in the United States and Germany. It produced nearly a half billion gallons of renewable fuel last year. The company was founded in Ames in 2006 as a spinoff from the West Central Cooperative in Ralston in northwest Iowa. The Trib also reported on the couple who hope to create a conservation subdivision on 58 acres of farmland they own in northwest Jasper County, about 25 miles from downtown Des Moines. Larry Ladd and Shirley Hansen's idea is to balance new home development with restored and protected natural landscapes in order to preserve native species and ecosystems. Their proposal is called Ashton in the Valley, and it would have 45 homes set against 25 acres of prairie with a connection to the nearby Ashton-Wildwood County Park. They are naming the subdivision for Hansen's forefathers, who farmed the land for more than a century. Among the amenities they hope to have, a fishing pond, playground, pickleball and basketball courts, a sledding hill, several barbecue and picnic areas, and more than a mile of trails. And there was word about the premiere of a new musical that was set to take place last night in Ames in the City Auditorium. It's called Water Rocks, the Musical. The producers call it a fun way to teach people about the importance of water, and they're hoping the production is widely performed in schools and communities around Iowa and the entire United States. In case you missed last night's performance, a second one will be staged next Thursday night at 7 at the Auditorium. Yesterday's Trib reported on flood warnings that had been issued for parts of central Iowa in the wake of thunderstorms that had pounded the area early Wednesday morning. Flood warnings were issued for areas near Ames and Boone for the South Skunk River after 2 to 5 inches of rain had fallen in parts of Story, Boone, Hamilton, Hardin, and Marshall counties. Two roads in Story County were closed because of flooding, 500th Avenue west of Ames and 130th Street east of Roland. Flooding also impacted some areas of Brookside Park in Ames. The Trib also reported that a Story County jury had found Oscar Chavez guilty of first-degree murder in the death of Maria Hunyan. He shot her 7 times last year in Ames. Prosecutors said he did it because he thought she had given him HIV. She did not have that, but she did have another virus. Chavez faces life in prison. He will be sentenced August 1st. And the Trib reported that the man who shot and killed 2 Iowa State University students earlier this month in the parking lot of an Ames church had a legal record spanning several years that included alleged violent behavior against women. But Story County's prosecutor said his office was not aware of it. And Story County attorney Tim Meals said even if other law enforcement agencies had shared or could have shared that information about Jonathan Whitlatch, it likely would not have changed how bond had been set for him after he had been arrested 2 days before the shooting for allegedly harassing one of the women he would shoot and kill 2 days later. And that is your summary of the week's news from the Ames Tribune. I'm Dennis Hart, thanking you for listening and promising a return visit to this same virtual seat on Local Talk on Monday morning at 7, when I'll report on what's been making news all around the state. In fact, I'll have more than that on Monday morning because I'll have the privilege of hosting this broadcast. I hope you'll be here to see how I do. In the meantime, maybe we'll see each other on the streets of Ames this weekend as we both try to have a safe, healthy, and happy Saturday and Sunday.
Thank you, Dennis Hart, with your week in the news. And yes, have a safe, happy, healthy weekend. And the music interlude was the Jug Band live at Ripley's Orchard. It takes a lot to laugh. It takes a train to cry. Some nostalgia from last weekend's Ames reunion for all those that celebrated the people, stories, and places from the 1970s here in Ames. There is a website, amesreunion.org. Ames Reunion, all one word, with additional music from the Jug Band and Sweet Nothing and Muse of that era. And a big shout out to the people that made the event happen, Larry Stoltenberg, Cynthia Page, Rob Loudon, Keith Wetzel, and his wife, Rose Rollenhagen, to name an important few. And Milford Township neighbor Mark Harris is joining us. Mark, did you and Connie enjoy, what did you enjoy the most from last weekend's Ames reunion?
Well, good morning, Pat, and the crew there. Well, we certainly enjoyed the camaraderie and becoming reacquainted with people we hadn't seen for decades. I kind of came late on the scene. I was made in 74, 75, joined the Navy, came back in 80, and but Connie had gone to school in 72, 74, and knew a lot of people there and through the years. So it was good to connect, and it was good to, be part of the vibe, so to speak.
Yeah, just good to connect. That's always worth mentioning and worth emphasizing. And we're also fundraising, Mark Harris, my neighbor in Milford Township. And I'd like to acknowledge all the assistance that you provided when Local Talk went from 3 days a week until every day, and we were trying to Zoom, sometimes from the parking lot. And I don't know if I could have succeeded at what we were attempting without your troubleshooting skills, that you would stop by and help out. And you've really been a key person kind of behind the scenes, so to speak.
Well, thank you very much, Pat. It is my pleasure and honor to support KHOI in that way. And also, I do a little bit of donation on a monthly basis, too. I've been part of KHOI since the very, very beginning, when Roger Parmenter actually had, I think, his second organizational meeting out at my place here way back when. And I was one of the original signers of the SEC application to start this program, this station. So I believe in community radio. I believe in KHOI, and I invite all those listeners and friends to, step up and help this, support this station, continue on. We've done some great things as a community radio. I think during the pandemic, we really showed what we could provide the community in terms of information and support. And I'm proud to be a part of this organization that way.
And you mentioned being a sustaining member. Apparently at one point you went to the website khoifm.org and you found that donate button, and things kind of progressed from there.
I did, and I have been donating for quite a long time now, and I stepped it up during the COVID to, again, provide my part and your part to sustain information flow to the community during the COVID times. And I think KHOI really provided a valuable service that way.
Well, thank you for that support always. And you, when you mentioned the sustaining membership, our basic membership is $60. We encourage a family to maybe plug in at the $100 a year sustainability, but then a really sustaining member at $250, or just over $20 a month. But what is it that you think that sustaining membership provides beyond just a daily opportunity to hear to catch up on the Ames community?
Yeah, I just think that community radio offers the opportunity to build a web in the community of information and entertainment and connection that is vital for cohesiveness in a community. So, all communities rely on information flow, and I think KHOI as a community radio station offers an opportunity for people to have that connection.
And I think a term that we were experiencing back in the 70s during that early Ames reunion time frame was grassroots. And we like to think of KHOI as grassroots radio, radio of the community.
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you, Mark Harris. Thanks for all the troubleshooting and all your computer skills. But thank you for your support. And we encourage all listeners, if you're not a member, to go to the website, khoifm.org, or you can give us a call at 515-292-2878. Leave a message. We'll get back to you. Think about becoming a sustaining member. And then times like this, you might realize that your finances can absorb a couple more bucks. And you can increase that automatic deduction. It's pretty painless, but it sure goes a long ways to sustain this community radio station. Thank you, Mark Harris.
Thank you, Pat.
And the opportunity to spread the knowledge of the Ames community has certainly been integral to Susan Guiazda, our public information officer for the city of Ames. Hi, Susan.
Hey, good morning. Good to be here.
It's great to have you. Thanks for coming on a little bit early so we can kind of organize our fundraising and once again include your friendly voice each
Friday. Well, I think you're doing a great job, and I like to hear the stories of people of why they are getting involved in community radio. Of course, we started this partnership years ago to use KHOI as a resource for city news, and we really stepped it up during the pandemic. And I think that we learned during the pandemic that this is a great source of information and a great way to distribute city information. So we've appreciated KHOI keeping us on the air and letting us share our messages. Obviously, the pandemic is still with us, and we still need to get that health information out. But we also have been using it to do other updates and other information about the city. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate having this resource around.
Well, it's mutually beneficial. You know that, Susan, because we appreciate your assistance every day that you're on. That's for sure. And I see you brought in. Oh, are there other announcements you need to make for the city?
Yeah, just one quick one. We are dedicating a new community garden. There is new community garden space on Delaware Avenue. 14 additional garden plots have been added to our citywide community garden program. People will remember that site off North Dakota as the site of the old water tower. And the water tower was dismantled and taken down a few years ago. It's not a very good site for building, so we have renovated it into community garden space and green space, and that dedication will come up on Wednesday, June 29th at 5 p.m. We will be out there. Maybe we'll plant some tomatoes or some flowers. Those plots, it's so popular, those plots have all been spoken for, so we'll continue to look for ways to expand our community gardens throughout the city. That joins two other locations. So we have a lot, but we clearly have more need. So
Community gardens, what a wonderful way to associate the strength that that Ames community can provide, and putting that out on community radio. I mean, that's just a natural fit. That's great.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of value in getting close to the land, in growing your own flowers or vegetables. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people in our community that, for whatever reason, do not have land available to them to do that planting. So we would like to have these sites available. They have water, so your water is right there, and you just pay a small rental fee each year, and then you're able to garden your plot.
Yeah, what a great, great story. And you've brought our housing coordinator, Vanessa Baker-Latimer, with you this morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, good. Good to hear your smiling voice and share your smile with us over Zoom. Our Zoom technology seems to be working well today. Welcome to Local Talk.
Sounds great. So I have a couple of things I wanted to talk about. And one of them is, as you know, in Ames, coming up soon, we're going to have a lot of people moving because leases are up here in July. And I always like to share some tidbits for those renters who are looking to move to a different place, that they need to have a checklist and make sure they work with their landlord to go through that checklist, make sure they leave the place in good shape so they can get their deposits back and they transfer the utilities and they schedule a walkthrough so that they'll be able to transition to a new unit with no problems, because that's a hectic time in Ames. You'll see a lot of people kind of just sitting on their moving truck waiting for their place to open. And so I just like to remind people of just some things to think about when they get ready to move. Make sure they communicate not only verbally or on text, but they need to communicate in writing with their landlords about their intentions to vacate the unit and all of those things, so that each party has a smooth transition for people wanting to move to different places.
Well, that's interesting, and I'm curious, is there an arbitrator, or when the wheels fall off, is that fallen under your responsibilities then, if there is a problem?
No, unfortunately, I don't have the staff to arbitrate those kind of things, but that's why we do some tidbits about that. There is some organizations in Des Moines, I believe it's called Home Inc., that they help arbitrate tenant-landlord issues for anyone across the state. So they would be a resource. You can just Google Home Inc. Des Moines, and there is a tenant-landlord connection that they can help you navigate what you need to do for both tenants and for landlords.
Well, I think it's best that they just listen to your message and communicate with and get that communication going. If there's a message to make this morning, that would be it. So pretty busy time of year. Up until when people are signing new leases in August, or how does your year sort of, how could you plan your time to be most beneficial to the people of Ames?
Well, again, notification and communication is the key. Anytime you can communicate in advance, then that helps you navigate everything. Like I said, even from getting utilities turned on from one place to another, that communication is the key to help everything transition very well.
Okay, notification. Communication. What a great message for a community radio station.
Exactly.
Hey, tell me more about Juneteenth. This year's Juneteenth event. Yes.
Yes. We have a collaborative partnership with a number of organizations in the community, the City of Ames, Iowa State University, Story County, the Ames Chamber of Commerce, Parks and Rec Department, the Ames Public Library, Black faculty and staff, Department of Public Safety. I mean, we have had so many people come together to help make this a first Ames Story County collaborative event. It's going to be held tomorrow, starting at 3:00 at the Banshell Park, right here in Ames. And we have a number of organizations and businesses who have signed up to be vendors, that they will have their tables there and sharing information about their business or their organization. We're going to have a proclamation that will be given by the Mayor Pro Tem, which is Tim Garden, and Latifah Faisal, who is the chair of the Story County Board of Supervisors. We're going to have some greetings from our top sponsors that I kind of mentioned earlier. And we're going to have some entertainment. We're going to have some praise dance, some spoken word, and we're going to have a band playing. We're also going to have a brief history of Juneteenth, why we're celebrating it. It's a national holiday now, and how we got from 1865 to now. And that's going to be shared by Wayne and Edna Clinton. They're going to do a overview of Juneteenth at the beginning of the event. And then later on, to kind of cap off the day, we're going to have a movie at the Banshell Park.
Let's get into some of that history. If you could help me kind of put it all together. You mentioned 1865. Was Juneteenth awareness a result of the Civil War?
Yes, it was part of the Emancipation Proclamation that was given by President Lincoln at the time. And so it recognizes the struggles that African Americans were enslaved and they had been determined to be freed through the Emancipation Proclamation. However, it took about 2 years before they were able to even get that information in Texas. And it happened on June 19th. And so that's how it's called Juneteenth. So the actual celebration is June 19th. And that was in 1865. And so now that we celebrate that freedom for African Americans and other people of color that were affected by slavery, and the President Biden made that a national holiday. So we want to celebrate that in Ames. There's a lot of celebrations going on across the country, and we are excited to have this celebration happening in Ames.
Well, it is interesting that the sense of communication has where it was in 1865, it took 2 years for the awareness. So I kind of feel like the June 19th might be a way, another way of getting the word out there, and different communities could explain what they felt was relevant and necessary and significant. So it kind of, I guess, as you would say, raised all the boats in the harbor. There were some key individuals, but this is kind of an under-recognized event that now apparently President Biden felt that it was worthy of a national holiday.
That's, yes.
So we're,
and that's liberating even more so for that. And so we want to embrace that, and we want everyone to embrace it, regardless of what your color, race, creed, religion is. It's just the day of freedom, and we want to and just embrace that for all cultures.
Well, you sound like you've really put together quite a program for tomorrow afternoon, starting at 3 p.m. at the Bandshell. Were each of those entities that you mentioned something that you had gotten involved with, or is there, do you have a committee? Or
yes, we have the committee. Actually, the Ames branch of the NAACP is the foundation for launching the event, and then reaching out to other groups that have been doing individual Juneteenth celebrations, like the Black Liberation Movement and Black faculty and staff off of Iowa State University. There have been pockets of those celebrations happening in Ames over the years. And so we said, hey, what about coming together with the NAACP and coordinating all of this celebration together? And so that's kind of how the committee was formed. And then the partnership went from there with the Ames Public Library. That was the base group, and the Ames Human Relations Commission. So a lot of great organizations coming together to support this event. It's been really exciting, coming together really quickly, but we're hoping it's going to turn out to be a good event. And then from there, we'll build on each year from here.
And you mentioned Wayne Clinton, a name that's synonymous with any type of community action and strengthening. Could you give me a little additional background information about Mr. Clinton?
Well, you know, Wayne and Ed Clinton have been in the Ames community for a number of years, and they are very, very involved in social justice and equity and diversity, and championing that for Ames and Story County. You know, Wayne was on the Ames, I think he was a high school basketball coach, the Ames High, for years, and then he was with the Story County Board of Supervisors. So he has been, you know, in the community and serving for a number of years. And his wife was also the president, first president of the NAACP here, and has been very involved in that and other activities with the school district, and anything that she can get involved with the police department, and just bringing as much awareness about social justice equity in our community. And so we are excited that they're both willing to kind of give the history of Juneteenth for this celebration.
That's just great. The man is a giant, and I'll be sure anxious to hear his remarks tomorrow starting at 3 at the Bandshell, the Juneteenth celebration, and I mean, quite likely a new holiday that each June we can have it to look forward to. And what a great destination at the Bandshell. Is there anything else, Vanessa, that we're overlooking?
Hey, and I heard the weather report was going to be no rain, but hot. But again, we got Hy-Vee. We have other vendors that's going to be there with food and drink, Kona Ice. I mean, you're just going to have to come out and just see all the things that we have planned, and just join us for this great celebration.
Oh, this is, I'm sure, welcome. Your promotion of this key event And thank you so much for being on Local Talk. It's kind of what makes the world go round these days. And
thank you for the opportunity.
Sure, appreciate it. Thank you, Vanessa. Susan, is there anything else?
I just want to mention, since Vanessa did mention the weather and how hot it is getting, this week we were at risk of hitting a new peak for our electric usage. We asked people to conserve, and it worked. We did not hit a new peak. Of course, that is a concern for next week. So I'm sure we'll be hearing from Donald.com with our electric services next week just to give us some more tips and advice on where we should be setting that thermostat. Conservation is always a great idea. So let's try to keep our demand low.
You read my mind. I was going to say just plan your day so that you're not trying to do the laundry during the peak hours, maybe put it off until there's times that are more convenient. Kind of lighten up on the peak requirements so people's air conditioners can keep functioning.
So have a great weekend. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Have a great weekend. Susan Guiazda, Public Information Officer with the City of Ames, and Housing Coordinator Vanessa Baker Latimer. Thank you so much.
Change in the ocean, change in the sea. Come back, baby, be a change in me. Everybody, hey, ought to change sometime. Cause it's soon a little later. Have to do a lot of lonesome crying. Well, I change home, I change town. I chain my baby just to get around. Everybody had a chain sometime. Cause it's sooner or later to some lonesome crime. Ooh, I chain my baby, chain my truth. I chain my baby just to shed off the dirt. Everybody,
and a little bit more of the Jug Band, that's Change in the Ocean.
Yeah, and it's 40 minutes after the hour, and Mark Harris, Mike Metz here. Welcome.
Good morning, my friends.
Yes. Mark, you live out in Milford Township, and we're talking Ames Community Radio here. We broadcast or advertise or top of the hour identify as Story City Ames. You're outside of Ames. You're outside of Story City. Why are you a member?
Well, I do live outside in the country, like my two friends here on the radio. All three of us are out here.
Yeah.
But I identify with Ames. I've been part of the Ames community as a, you know, working in various locations for the last 40 years. And the community is a bigger concept than just the boundaries of a city. And, you know, our community with KHOI extends, I don't know, 30, 40 mile radius around our tower between Ames and Story City. And, you know, this is why I'm a member. I have a lot of friends. Most of my friends are from Ames. And this has, again, been my source of employment for mostly since 1980.
Sure. And that's, you point out a great fact that community is more than just a political boundary. We've got, you know, we cover all of the surrounding counties between Ames and Story City. And I guess I'm in the same kind of a boat as you are. I live outside of the city, but I was employed by ISU in a former life, and a number of our friends live outside, a number of the members of the community, folks who work at the radio station here are outside of Ames, but we all pull together. We've got a lot of common interests, a lot of common concerns. And I guess I would reach out to those listeners and say, please become a friend. Wouldn't you agree, Mark?
I do. And, you know, it's really a minimal expense. You know, it's a bag of chips a month to be a, you know, a membership, I think. And it's really quite worth it in terms of the amount of information flow and the entertainment. I mean, the music is what I enjoy greatly, all the variety of music. I have a little radio in my kitchen that I keep on 24/7, so I can, you know, just tune in whenever I walk through the kitchen. And it's the only station I play on my car anymore, and, you know, when I'm in the area. And, you know, I just really feel connected to the community and to my friends at the station as I'm listening.
Yeah, and you point that out, but folks also need to know that we stream on KHOIFM.org, and they can pick that up anywhere in the world. So your connection with your community, if you go on vacation or you're assigned someplace for a time away from the center of the universe, you can tune in and see what's going on back home. And friends, listeners, I'd say if you are a current member, please consider renewing your membership and maybe bumping your amount that you contribute each month. Bump it up a little bit. As we know, the cost of living continues to increase, and that affects us as well. Basic membership is $60, 16 cents a day. I like your visualization of a bag of chips per month, and you might get some immediate satisfaction out of that bag of chips, but with community radio, you get it for the month.
That's right. Well, I'm a real chip eater. So I just have to sacrifice one bag of chips a month.
There you go.
Part of this community.
Pat.
Yeah. Well, the programming has really grown from 10 years ago when we started. I know you were very involved with a lot of that initial programming. Are there horizons that you're anticipating or looking forward to in a continued manner for into this 21st century, Mark?
I missed the first part of that.
Are there things that you'd like, what new avenues of interest might you have that community radio could strive for?
Certainly greater acceptance in the community. I think, you know, I'd like to see somehow, you know, a little bit more successful outreach. That's why we're doing this. But the one thing I'd like to do is, you know, broaden the sense of community. And I think, you know, KHOI in the last couple of years has really done that through the pandemic, but also some of the programming we have that comes from Pacifica Radio, like Letters in Politics from McJesuits, which I just really, really like, and Democracy Now, and if other programs that broaden the community to across the country in a national sense. And I really feel like KHOI provides a service and an information flow that really keeps me connected in many, many ways.
And you've gone to that website, khoifm.org. If you'd like to explore live streaming, good place to donate, good place to look through the archives. It's just great having you on KHOI Local Talk, Mark Harris.
Thank you very much. My honor to be here.
Thank you.
Change my baby, they'll straight out the dirt every morning. Ooh, baby, change some time. Call it sooner, a little later. Do some lonesome crying. I'll change my walk and I'll change my talk and I'll change my baby just to keep from being bored. Everybody.
sometimes. Cause it's soon a little later, it's a lonesome crime. Change in the ocean, change the blue sea. Come back, baby, be a change in me, everybody. All a change sometimes. But it's sooner, a little later, it's a lonesome cry.
And a little bit more, a change in the ocean, grassroots music on this local talk, more the Jug Band. Hey, let's welcome Amber Wingert with ISU Extension. Good morning, Amber.
Good morning, Pat.
Great to have you with us once again here about 7:48 on Friday morning.
Yeah, thank you. I brought a special guest with me as well this morning. I want to introduce you to.
I'm anxious to meet this gentleman.
Yes, I've brought our new regional director, Donovan Olson. He joined Story County Extension June 1st, so we're excited to have him here. Mm-hmm. And he's going to tell you a little bit about himself and what Story County Extension is up to.
Well, so I missed your name. Donovan Olson.
Yes.
Welcome to Local Talk.
Thanks, Pat. Glad to be here this morning.
And you're a Midwestern Iowan?
Yeah, I'm not too far from Ames in Story County. I live in Boone, Iowa.
I see. And where did you grow up?
Right there in Boone, Iowa.
Oh, well, excellent. This is you. So you've had different positions around the state, it looks like, with ISU Extension, kind of north of us. Looks in.
Yeah. I did, Pat. I served in a similar position in north central Iowa. I served a 5-county region, and my main office was in Mason City. But I traveled to 4 surrounding counties from that county, and I did that for about 6 years.
Mm-hmm. And what are your responsibilities as a regional director?
Sure. Well, it's a little bit different in Story County, simply because Story County is a 1-county region. And the reason for that is across the state there are actually 3 1-county regions because they hit a population where they can have just one regional director serve 1 county. But it's more common in the state to have a regional director serve multiple counties. Mm-hmm. So my former position served 5 counties in north central Iowa. Cerro Gordo County was the bigger county, and then 4 surrounding counties that were smaller counties. And basically, we oversee the extension offices, provide administrative services to those county offices. And so that role really isn't any different in Story County.
Well, and when I think of the role as ISU Extension, kind of an extension of the agricultural college here at Iowa State University.
That's part of it. We actually have 4 program areas that we focus on. Agricultural and natural resources is one of those. Another big one is youth and 4-H. We have a lot of programming in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a county fair coming up in Story County, which is, you know, one of the big programs that we cooperate with the fair board on each year.
Mm-hmm.
But we also do programs in human sciences. A big program we have is a nutrition program here in Story mm-hmm. County that we help people in lower income levels make better choices and eat better. We help them with education in that area. And we also do community and economic development. So we really have 4 areas of focus that we pursue each year.
I see. And you probably have a lot of fond memories of the Story County Fair then growing up. Or I guess you grew up in Boone, so were you able to come over to the Nevada Story County Fair at all?
So it'll be a new experience for me this year. I've never been to the Story County Fair. Been to the Boone County Fair many times, and the 5 county fairs in north central Iowa. went to those every year. So this will be a new experience for me. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, well, yeah. What are you looking forward to most, do you suppose?
You know, I just enjoy the excitement that 4-H kids have when they participate in the programs, you know, mostly showing animals. I like when little kids show bucket, bottle, gas, and that sort of thing. It's just really fun to see the excitement and the pleasure when they win an award. That's just a lot
sure.
of fun.
They're all award winners, but yeah, there's only so many blue ribbons that can go around. But yeah, you can just see the busting with pride. And then it leads into the state fair.
Exactly. It gives them an opportunity to go a step further. And that's a lot of fun for those kids that choose to do that.
And it is a good age to be stepping forward. That's for sure. So your human interest or the human dimension type of your programming, I've learned so much from Amber having on a couple times a month. Where is Story County then as a one regional, one county region compared to where you were previously? I'm sure you made a lot of friends and alliances north of us. And how is that going to work just having the one county now?
Yeah, it's a little bit different here. Because in the five county region, I had five county directors. That I oversaw and worked with on a regular basis. So that responsibility really comes back to me working with a team right here in the Extension office in Ames, working with a team to accomplish the goals of Extension. So I'm really working to get to know the staff here in the office, their yeah. programs that they offer, and then we're going to reach out from there and see not only how we can strengthen our current programs, but how we can add new programs to affect people in the future.
Well, please consider how KHOI Community Radio can assist you in those endeavors.
That's a great point. One of the things that we have here in the office is a marketing person, Amber, that's on the radio with you regularly.
Yeah.
And she's our direct connection to information about our programs and services. We really look forward to being on the radio with you to share that with the community.
And that, Amber, your website, ISU Extension?
Yes, so our website is extension.iastate.edu/story.
Extension.
Pat, I would suggest you just Google Story County Extension. It'll pop right up on
yeah,
Google.
Okay. Amber, we've got a couple minutes. You have some youth programs and some field days scheduled.
Yes, we do. Next Tuesday, June 28th, we have a herbicide resistance field day scheduled near McCallsburg. That is from 1 to 3 p.m. And so our Megan Anderson, our field agronomist that we house here in Story County, mm-hmm. is going to just teach you about how to control your water hemp and talk about the different herbicides and ways you can effectively apply the herbicides and the rates. And if you're a certified crop advisor, you will receive 2 credits for doing so. And no registration is needed. It looks like it's 1 mile south of McCallsburg on S-27. So you can just show up Tuesday from 1 to 3 p.m. And of course, if you have any questions or need some help getting there, directions, you can always give our call at our office here. And our phone number is 515-337-1601.
Okay, and that information will be on our website. Youth programs, always a source of interest.
Yes, we love to program with the youth. We have 4-H'ers in training, 2 different dates here coming up. June 28th or July 5th. Now, this is for K through third graders, but I do want you to know that you do not have to be a 4-H'er to participate in this program. We're just going to teach you about the different project areas in 4-H. So you're going to learn about communications, art, STEM, civic engagement, and more. And with those project areas, the kids get to do crafts and activities, and they'll have something fun to take home at the end of the day as well.
As I ask previous 4-H club members, the one thing that they most value from that early experience, and quite often I'll hear, it's the presentations, giving talks and having some confidence of sharing information is really, really big.
Oh, it is very much so. Life lessons right there, starting at such a young age.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. Yeah.
Yes, I just wanted to tell you, those programs are going to be at our office here in Ames. So,
And that's at South Bell.
Yep. If you're familiar, we're kind of on the corner of 35 and 30. So, 1421 South Bell.
1421 South Bell. Okay.
Yep.
Well, is there anything else, Amber?
We do also want to invite you out to the Ames Public Library. We have a little bit more extended group there, first through fifth grade. So Tuesdays in July, 12th, 19th, and 26th. That's open to anyone to come out and learn about a technology topic. So
yeah,
that's at the Ames Public Library, and they'll just have a different topic every week and just invite you to bring the kiddos out to stay cool in the air conditioning with us.
Learn about technology.
Mm-hmm.
On Technology Tuesday at the Ames Public Library, July 12th.
Oh, yes, that's 1 to 2 p.m.
Okay. Well, Amber, I'm sorry we've run out of time today. But
no problem.
Thanks for sharing all the information. Thanks for bringing Donovan along, Donovan Olson, your new regional director here for Story County.
Appreciate the time, Pat.
Thank you so much. Local Talk airs each weekday at 7 a.m. on 89.1 FM. KHOI Local Talk is a training workshop as well as a show. If you have interest in joining the Local Talk team, the welcome mat is out here at 622 Douglas. Come join the Local Talk team at our website. You can learn more. All the programs are streaming live at khoifm.org or call 515-292-2878. And please remember to support this station financially, particularly during this fund drive. We're trying to get 50 new members. So go to that website, khoifm.org, and find the yellow donate button.
KHOI provides a platform for citizens and public officials to air opinions and information. The views of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of KHOI. KHOI is a community, nonprofit, nonpartisan media.
Thank you, Local Talk producer Lynn Carey, and thank you, Dennis Hart, for your Friday report. Thanks to our guests, Housing Coordinator Vanessa Baker-Latimer, Amber Wiggert, and Donovan Olson with ISU Extension, and Mark Harris. Thank you. And thank you, co-host Mike Metz. I've been your host, Pat Schlarbaum.
Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other artists you heard were the jug band Ames, Own It Takes a Lot to Laugh, and A Train to Cry, and Change in the Ocean. Stay tuned for headline news, Now, Democracy Now!, and Adagio at 9 a.m. Then KHOI War in Ukraine at noon with Svetlana Zhermarchuk. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.